Good afternoon, Kara.
Hello, Mr. Secretary. Thank you for your time. I appreciate it.
You bet.
Mr. Secretary, you've been in Minnesota the last 2 days. What are you hearing from farmers and ranchers as you meet with them?
Obviously concerned about the drought and the need for as much assistance and flexibility as possible, whether it's hay and grazing on CRP land or whether it's a livestock forage program, providing relief to be able to purchase forage to the extent it exists, or just haul and water and NRCS programs that can provide assistance and help. I think a recognition that this is likely going to be the kind of thing we're going to have to confront on a more frequent basis, and making sure that our programs, our support programs, need to do what they can to provide help and assistance. I know that Senator Hogan and others have been working on an expansion of the budget under the WIP program, which is the kind of program that has enough flexibility that we could do a lot of good things if we have additional resources in that program.
One of the drought resources available in the near term that USDA is offering is hang and grazing conservation reserve program acres. And as I'm sure you heard in visiting with farmers and ranchers, there are some farmers who are eligible to hay CRP acres that may also be eligible for the livestock forage program. And if that's the case, some of those farmers may be limited on what they can hay. What authority does the USDA have to make near-term changes to something like that?
Well, you know, part of the problem is that these programs are not only created by regulation, but they're also created by statute. And we'd have to take a look at and see whether or not we can create the kind of flexibility where people are receiving the help that they need without necessarily creating a situation where people are sort of double dipping and creating and being compensated for the same loss twice. And that's the key, is to make sure we're not doing that, that we're wise stewards of taxpayer money, and at the same time providing the help and assistance that producers can use.
Is that something that can be done this year in this drought, or will that take longer to do?
That's something I'm checking. I mean, there are a number of things that were raised during the course of my meetings here in Minnesota about the classifications, how frequently you've got to be in a certain drought designation, which I think we are going to have to work on from a statutory perspective. There were concerns expressed about the nesting season and whether or not flexibility could be created there. We found out that the statute didn't prevent that kind of flexibility. So these are things we're going to check on. To the extent that we have flexibility, we'll exercise it. To the extent that we need timers to provide greater clarity or greater permission, we'll obviously work with our friends in Congress to get that done.
What drought resources became available with a new infrastructure package that was passed in the Senate this week?
Well, there's a portion of the bill that focuses on greater resiliency. And I think that basically our resources, I suspect, NRCS. Now, we haven't seen yet the exact text of precisely what Congress is thinking about, and obviously the House has to pass the bill, but there is a focus on greater resiliency, both in our forested areas to try to reduce the hazardous fuel buildup and reduce the risk of catastrophic fires in the future, and also provide greater provision and assistance on the drought side. There may be mitigation strategies. There may be long-term issues in terms of how better to utilize scarce resources, scarce water resources. We're just going to have to make sure we see what gets passed, make sure that we understand precisely what Congress wants to do with those resources, and make sure that we fit the program to meet the need.
But I know certain states were given so much money to deal with climate, and it sounds like some of that may be able to be used to help farmers and ranchers in the drought. Is that accurate?
Well, we used $41 million from EQIP money for four states that are dealing with very, very severe drought. Statewide, where 80-90% of the state is actually in drought conditions, and 25-30% of it is in extreme drought conditions, and those resources are available. We also created a special program which we're piloting, which is essentially providing the ability of farmers not to plant a crop in order to preserve scarce resources, water resources, primarily in Oregon and Northern California. And these are all ways in which, two things. One, it identifies how much more work we need and how much more thought we need to put into the disaster programs to deal with longstanding challenges from a weather perspective, not one-off circumstances, but things that last several years that create significant devastation. And it points out the fact that we need greater flexibility in the programs we have.
Lawmakers, as you mentioned, in both chambers of Congress are interested in making a greater investment in the WIP Plus program. As those plans move forward, what would you like to see different in this program if implemented for 2020 and 2021?
Well, I think the resources have to be increased, and I think the types of activities that can trigger payments under the program need to be considered. In terms of not just hurricanes or wildfires, but also longstanding drought. Certainly appreciate Senator Hogan's leadership on this. I know it's a program that he's very, very invested in and cares deeply about, and he's been one of the leading proponents of increases in that program. And it's the kind of thinking, I think, that needs to go into long-term into our 2023 Farm Bill discussions about how you establish disaster assistance programs that will allow you to deal with these longstanding challenging circumstances we're going to get as a result of a changing climate.
How do you create something like that complements crop insurance instead of, making the two very separate?
Well, the reality is crop insurance is a partnership between the farmer and the government and the insured, and it's certainly a terrific tool to help farmers deal with the consequences of a particular weather-related situation. However, crop insurance doesn't necessarily provide the kind of protection for a drought that goes over a 4, 5, 6 year period. That's what I think we're dealing with. We're dealing with long-standing mega droughts, not necessarily just a drought here or there. And I think that's, again, it's back to the point that as we put a farm bill together, we really have to think creatively about how we distinguish between long-standing disasters, short-term disasters, and the other risk management tools that can keep farmers in business. I mean, that's the whole purpose here, is to try to figure out how do we keep folks in business and how do we increase the profitability of farming.
Mr. Secretary, I visited with Senator Hoeven earlier today. He's actually meeting with some farmers and ranchers to talk about the drought. And we talked about the WIP Plus program. And he mentioned what they're trying to do in this new WIP Plus is to allow livestock producers to be eligible. And he mentioned USDA may be able to have some authority on how they implement that. Have you started to think about how that could be implemented and what that could mean for livestock?
Well, we haven't had a chance to again, a lot of it depends on it getting passed. It's a budget bill, and one would like to think it's going to get passed before October 1st, but his history would tell us that it's going to be quite some time before that budget actually gets passed. And so, therefore, we've got time. I think we're very cognizant of the fact that the current programs that we have at USDA don't really provide the kind of protection and assistance to livestock producers that they do with row crop producers. And I think Senator Hoeven's goal, I suspect, is to try to get some kind of parallel system in place so livestock producers have greater capacity to withstand situations like this than they have today. And we certainly share that goal. Depending upon how they craft it, how they draft it, and how they fund it, will obviously determine how we design it.
But it sounds like you two are going to be able to connect on Sunday. He mentioned you guys were going to chat.
Yeah, I'm chatting with him on Sunday on a different issue, but I'm sure this will come up.
Okay. Is there anything that we need to keep on our radar?
I think you've asked the questions that need to be asked today.
Well, I want to also ask a few more here, and I'll try to keep it short. We know the Senate confirmed Jennifer Moffitt this week. She was one of the first USDA undersecretaries to be confirmed so far. How does her confirmation help with your workload at USDA?
Well, it creates the ability for there to be long-term thinking that goes into missionaries. Right now, we're just basically trying to get through the day without necessarily thinking about what the next 2 or 3 years might look like. When you have your undersecretaries in position, then you basically have the capacity and the team in place to do long-term strategic thinking about the direction of a department. Our deputy undersecretaries have done a fabulous job. They've done a phenomenal job with very limited resources. The confirmation process takes forever. And it's beyond me why it takes as long as it does. I'm hopeful that we get a few more folks who have gotten through the Senate confirmation, Senate Ag Committee hearing process with a favorable vote. I hope we get them through the process in the very near time and very quick order. Robert Bonney, we really need him at the Farm Service Agency and FPAC. There's an opportunity as well for rural development to have an undersecretary. Those are two real key positions. And having Jenny at Marketing and Regulatory will allow us to proceed on things like packers and stockyards and organic transition programs, ways in which we can help a variety of different types of agriculture.